CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop. Transformers! Defenders of
truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Hello and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode 197. This week, we are joined by myself in place of Duranlan, who is still suffering from the remnants of Con SARS, as it's been called, from leftover BotCon sickness. Joining me tonight is Rick.
Hello. And it's been a while. I know you miss me.
And Hang.
Hello from Australia.
Ah, Outback. Love Outback.
Outback only used Spoo in one episode of this series.
Hey. He was in two episodes, right?
Really? Didn't he just find the Decepticons at the airport and that was it?
Yeah, he did that. No, he was in two episodes. I thought he was in two episodes because...
Maybe Rebirth?
Because it was, he has two different voice actors.
So oh, you're right.
Yeah, he had to be. I thought it was just two episodes he was on.
Dude, he was one of the few guys where you go like, what happened with your voice acting?
Yeah. He's like Skids. I think Skids had two or three different voice actors, and he only had, whatever, two or three lines, and that was it. And they're like,
I don't recall.
Yeah, Skids.
Me. So yeah,
they need an MP skits. Yeah,
that would be cool. I would buy that. This week we were discussing what sort of other toy lines did you play with as a kid, either alongside or instead of Transformers when you were younger.
So
there was a period in the early 90s where the Transformers brand was not alive from like what 91 and 92 in the United States, and just pre-Generation 2. And so a lot of people went on to other toy lines if they hadn't already by the time Action Masters came around. So we'll be delving into that a little bit. And yeah.
Well, it could also be toys that you played with alongside your Transformers that would have existed in the same toy continuity as your Transformers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right, so my...
Because I remember as a kid...
Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead. You stop it. I was about to say that even as a kid, I remember spending a lot of time with Ninja Turtles. And Zoids, because the Zoid pilots were the perfect size to be... You know, to get into the cockpits of your G1, the G1 cars, because I used to have Hoist and Inferno, and the Zoid pilots were literally just the right size to get stuffed in the chair. So I had one silver and one gold pilot, and I would say that the gold pilot was Sputplug, and the silver pilot was Spike.
Nice. Nice. I got a couple stories from my childhood, but my favorite one, there was when I was a kid, I would always take the styrofoam inserts from toys, and they would be my bases. And I would draw on them, or I tape them together, and I would either build a G.I. Joe base or a Star Wars base. But when I was a kid, I was lucky enough to get Fort Max. And he has this real big, giant styrofoam insert. And my favorite movie as a kid was Aliens. I used to watch it all the time. I had it on this thing called Betamax.
Really?
So I dressed up.
What were your parents doing, letting a kid watch Aliens?
It was on TV, and then I taped it. I knew how to do that. You know, it's the stuff you get away with when you're an only child.
Of all people to be talking about Aliens, your hair is almost perfect to be talking about.
So, all right. So I took the insert from my Fort Max, and I dressed it up, took some pens to it, drew on it, and that was the Sulaco. That was the ship from Aliens. And I remember I got a bunch of hand-me-down G.I. Joes from my cousin, and they were my Colonial Marines. And I took all the ones that looked like actual military guys, and they were all my Colonial Marines. And I didn't have any alien toys as a kid, so I used my G1 Soundwave as my alien queen. And he would eject the tapes out, and those would be like the facehugger aliens, right? And they would sprout up, and they would chase all the guys through like under the table. Or through the Sulaco.
I just got the worst. Oh, the worst mental image there, Rick. I just visualized Soundwave just grabbing his faceplate, pulling it off, and opening his mouth, and out pops Ravage.
I think I played with the Fort Max Styrofoam insert more than any other Transformer I ever had as a kid. Because I also used it for a little while. I used it as my Cat Slayer for Thundercats.
Nice. I remember a lot of Starcom. I don't know if you guys remember Starcom.
Of course. It used to be, I'm that old.
Not much. I had like.
You know, you can get your motorized vehicles, right? And then you've got your pilots with magnetic boots. So it was called Magnalock. It was the gimmick, and it could connect to the vehicles. And with some of the really older stuff, like because there was die casts, some of the figures, because the figures' magnetism didn't quite match from toy to toy, some of them could actually stand on top of a G1 car as you're streaking it down, you know, your living room floor and going, well, this isn't going to end well as a child. And they had really nice bases, too, which were quite good in size with the Autobots, because the vehicles were about the size of the Transformers back in the day too. And so that was really fun to have, because I remember using I can't remember the name of the base. The base transforms into kind of a tower complex, so it had a working elevator, and you could put your mini-bots on it, and it would go up the elevator. It was just great. Like I love those old motorized toys. I wish we had more of them instead of battery-powered shenanigans, but you know.
Or the missile launchers with the giant missiles that you get nowadays.
Safety standards.
Yeah, the safety missiles. I remember my cousin
they don't really
had
have
the
magnets anymore, do they?
What's that?
They're not allowed to.
They have too many toys with magnets anymore, do they? Not really.
Not many people using that feature, but you know, every now and again you.
Probably
see one.
Probably just a bunch of people who grew up and, you know, thought back to their toys as a kid and got to thinking, you know, magnets.
I think my daughter has a couple of Disney toys that have magnets in them, or like they connect to the bases, to the play sets.
And I know the old, in 2000 they re-released when they did the big re-release for Microman in Japan. That was the last time I really saw magnets used in full force, because all the characters had something called Magna Power, which allowed them to, like, attach You know, it was based on the very original Microman toys where you could, like, have robots magnetize and connect to each other in components, and that's what they did. But I think that's really the last time I've seen anything mainstream with magnets, Japan or otherwise.
I completely forgot.
I mean, if you guys don't know anything.
I completely forgot. There was something fairly recent, and me being the Creo Wiki guy, I can't believe I skipped over this. Some of the Age of Extinction Creo sets utilize some kind of magnet thing. I never did get any of those sets, but there was something with the Dinobots' mouths where they could, like, grab onto some of the Viacons or some such magnetic feature.
But, I think there's some Lego sets that have magnets, but
I still don't know how they work.
Isn't that the new thing? What Neo Knights or something like that has some kind of weird magnetic thing with the shields and the knights, I think. I don't play enough Lego, unfortunately, because it's A, too expensive, and B, takes up too much space in the house.
Have you
seen the shelf already?
Yeah. Now, Lego was a big thing. My brother and I, as we were younger, he being, 5.5, 6 years my senior, I ended up with a lot of his hand-me-downs, and I would always raid his bucket of Legos and build some of the craziest things, because they're, toward the end of G1 and prior to G2, kind of a lull, and, with no new Transformers coming out, I started venturing into some different odds and ends toys, like StarCon, Ninja Turtles, different things like that. And with Legos, I would get some of the different spaceship sets or some of the buckets, and I would actually build robots or Transformers. I would get crazy creative. I would fit some of the flat, like, wings in between pegs and kind of wedge them in there to make legs. I mean, really, really strange stuff. They always
fell over. As you should.
They always fell over.
I used to use Lego as Energon cubes.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You put like two or three of them, four of them together, and you do a little cube kind of thing. And then you would just, because they never released Energon cubes in our time. Let's be serious here. It's more of a in the last decade kind of thing, right? With the re-releases of the Insecticons. And I was like, I always wanted Energon cubes. And there was a point in my life where I was watching a lot of those old Hong Kong gambling movies. Like God of Gambling and stuff like this, and I would have all my Autobots and Decepticons around the table playing poker for Energon chips. And that was just my whole joke. Just had them around the table playing Energon chips. And Lego was perfect for that. And yeah, like back then when Lego was just squares and cubes and stuff like that, not like this fancy smanchy stuff that's come out in recent years.
Some of the coolest Legos were the neon translucent ones, like the green. I don't know what you.
Oh, mean.
One peg with the
lap zero and yeah.
But you would like be able to just clip it on. It could be a laser blast, or it could be an antenna or something like that.
Oh, that was in the 90s, weren't they? That was the space sort
of,
stuff.
When exactly. We had a lot of the space sets, and one thing I always thought was really neat is like if you had light coming in your window or something. You could shine it on one part of that and, use the Lego blocks to kind of block off the rest of the pole, except for the little nub at the end. And as a result, you would have kind of this lit up Lego block.
Blacktron, that's what it was called.
What?
That's the Legos that you're thinking about.
Probably.
That was that space line, Blacktron.
Okay.
Yeah.
1991-ish. Somewhere in there, but yeah.
Was it in the 90s? I can't remember.
I had mine in the 80s, because I'm older and far more handsome than all of you.
I seem to remember there was some kind of round logo that had the letter M on it.
Yeah, there was. I don't remember what those sets were called.
I don't either. I just remember that as one of the main things, besides the neon blocks.
So cool. what other crossovers did you guys used to do? As kids.
Beast Wars and Ninja Turtles, if you can believe it.
Beast Wars?
That kind of seems like a given. Sure.
Because So I obviously had the old Ninja Turtles back from the early 90s, I want to say. I remember being about 12 years old when I got the Turtle Van. And years later, never grew up, still kept playing with toys when Beast Wars came out. And I was like, oh, it's kind of a given, isn't it? Like Ninja Turtles and Beast Wars. Because in my head at that time, all the Autobot, all the Maximals were about the same size as real animals, like not counting Rat Trap maybe.
Yeah.
But around the same size, so pretty close, so it would work with Ninja Turtles.
Except for Rhinox.
Yeah, Rhinox was tiny.
Yeah.
But the new Rhinox is great.
But speaking of growing up, though, is I just got to say, you know, you don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing.
Yeah, true.
No,
Rick's like no.
No,
Rick's just old anyway.
No, my birthday.
No, isn't that a Dawn thing? That's Headmaster Dawn, though.
Yeah, well, I think he's still like 10 years older than me, though. I'm in my late 30s now.
I'm still in my mid 30s. So. You're the youngest here, aren't you, Jim?
I am. 32. Product of 83.
Just a bunch of 30-year-olds talking about plastic toys on a Friday night.
Right?
We're an exciting bunch. Somehow, someone married me. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah,
I know, right? Don't you ever get that feeling where you go like, "How?" So I have a whole bunch of my toys in my garage on display, and my wife will drive in the car, get out of the car, look at the toys, and go, "Hang, yes, honey, you have a lot of robots." And then she walks back into the house.
Yeah.
And I go, like, how does she tolerate my crap?
Yeah, my wife's super patient. So next week we're moving. So this is my last time broadcasting from this lovely locale. So we're moving into our new house next week. Mm-hmm. We get reimbursed for movers, so we hired some movers. They came in, they looked at everything. They measure everything, they take the weight, and they're sending six guys to come move us and three 24-foot-long trucks. I don't know what that is in meters. I think that's like 2 meters. I don't know. They're sending three 24-foot-long trucks. So two trucks for my toys and one truck for our house stuff. And the house stuff is me, my wife, our two kids, and my mom. And my toys take up two trucks by themselves. Now, I have a lot of display cases, granted, but, I mean, you talk about patience. I mean, when we're looking for houses, when we were shopping for houses, we're like, yeah, this house is too small. It's great for the family, but, you know, that basement just doesn't work for my toys.
What's wrong with an entire basement for your toys?
Oh, well, the problem is we had to find one that was big enough.
Oh, it wasn't big enough basement.
Yeah. So the house we're going to is 4,800 square feet. So it's got room. It's got room for my toys.
Are you still in the same area, kind of, or what?
I'm moving to Massachusetts. So I'm in Connecticut, which is, you know, obviously being from Australia, you would know that Connecticut is right below Massachusetts here in the New England area.
8 steps down, right? Because they're not very big states.
No, Mass is
kind of hop across the state line there.
Yeah. So I'm moving next week, and it's two trucks for my toys and six guys. So you better believe that I'm gonna tip those guys well and buy them lunch and. Yeah.
I don't need this Mortis Maximus. Here. Take this.
Yeah. There's always collateral damage whenever you move, so I know something's going to get broke.
Bribe them so they take extra care.
Yeah.
Especially with the masterpieces are probably the most fragile when you think about it. Because when I moved last, all my big items, so let's not talk about the original G1s, right? The ones with the die-cast and stuff like that. Let's talk about anything Headmaster up survives. It is like virtually indestructible. But then anything G1 and below, you go like, and then we get generations, and I go like, this is pretty 50.
Yeah, all that stuff is in plastic tubs, so I'm okay. It's more my, like, sealed stuff that I'm, like, kind of worried about. So, yeah, I've got to, yeah. Okay, so anyway.
I don't have sealed stuff. This is where the advantage is.
Toys. Other toys.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe and Transformers, I remember. So,
I got a joke story for you. So,
how'd you go for it?
My my cousin was the only boy with three sisters, right? So he had a lot of boys' toys, and he had like every single G.I. Joe. So he had the flag, the big aircraft carrier, and we would always set up the aircraft carrier, and then the Transformers would attack it. And I just like one of my favorite memories was like Sunstreaker stomping on like Gung-Ho's head on the deck of the flag.
There was something wrong with you in your childhood.
Hey. It's probably the only child in me. I'm also I'm part Italian, part Puerto Rican, half asshole. So.
Okay, now clarify that. That's half asshole or half ass. Hole.
Both.
More like a more like Colombian kid or a, kind of a maybe a pothole.
So, you guys remember Muscle Man? Remember Muscle Man?
Yeah, Muscle Man.
Muscle Man.
Kinnikuman.
Yes. So Muscle Man were big little fighter guys, right? And they came in the '80s. They sold them in like a plastic trash can that was clear. And you pop the lid off and you dump all your Muscle Men out. And this plastic trash can, actually, I played with that thing so many times. That would be my transporter. I would like put it on top of figures. But what it ended up becoming, the thing I love the most, was when I was a kid, I would take my toys and I would recreate movies, but not with the toys from the movie. So it was like Ironhide and Bumblebee escaped from the Star Destroyer in the clear plastic trash can, and they crash land on Tatooine below.
That's good.
That was the end of the story.
Really good.
Nice.
Oh, okay, right. I remember because
they
survived.
What's that?
They just crashed on Tatooine. You didn't say that they survived.
There was a whole adventure they'd go on, and they'd meet Blaster.
Oh, okay.
And when I was a kid, I could never get Blaster's chest open. So I always thought Blaster was a big dumb guy.
Because
I couldn't get the chest open ever. Not until I was like in my 20s could I get Blaster's chest open.
Yeah.
He was like the big brute type of guy.
Yeah.
No, I remember because Singapore actually have G.I. Joe figures. Like, G.I. Joe was quite big. But then on comics side of it, there was the... We had Action Force, because we got a lot of the UK Transformer comics, and Action Force kept popping up in the UK Transformers. And I remember there being a Action Force versus Transformers crossover. I don't know if you guys know about that. It was really weird. But it was where they showed the Protector Bots the most. Like, Protector Bots were some of the main characters in it.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, oh, too bad my G.I. Joe toys are too big for my Transformers. But I put them side by side, and I had this really sadistic side where I would freeze my G.I. Joe figures in cups of water.
I don't imagine that ending well.
Yeah, well, no, it was the... like, so the plastic was pretty good. It survived pretty well. The rubber bands, also not so much. But I remember doing that because I was a big Star Wars fan, and all I could think of was Han Solo in carbonite.
Nice. I have a I have a Captain America in my freezer at all times. Secret Wars one. It's the Secret Wars one from the '80s.
Oh, I remember the old Secret Wars toys. Man, those were the best. The Secret Identity Shields.
I always wanted Dr. Doom's tower because I always thought that was the one place from the '80s that actually looked like Cybertron. I always wanted to make that. I always remember thinking, that's the toy I want. That's the one I want. And I never got a chance to get it.
The only thing I can't think of anything in the freezer for any reason, and I don't know what the devil I was thinking, but I had Generation 2 Color Changer Deluge, and it snapped at the waist. For those of you who haven't seen that toy, it's got a very tiny waist joint that tends to be kind of fragile. Anyway, it broke. I had two halves of a deluge, and I seemed to think that it would be a good idea to get it wet there and put it in the freezer to freeze the two halves back together. Because I was a genius as a child.
It felt like it was such a good idea at the time.
Right? And I seem to remember it kind of killing the whole color change feature, too, by doing that.
Some of the stuff kills color change stuff, like the old Hot Wheels stuff. Oh my gosh, those were horrible with the color change.
I had a Beetle, like a Volkswagen Beetle, with a white one that did the color change thing. I don't remember what color turned it. I want to say yellow. And like this air scoop on the top or something on the roof.
I remember this is another one of the hand-me-down stories. So I got a lot of hand-me-downs from my cousin, and there was a bunch of G.I. Joes in there, and I remember I was playing outside one day, and I put all my Cobra guys outside, and I was playing with the Joes inside, and I come out, and two of my Joes have turned brown, like dark, dark brown. And it was Serana and Xander, who were Zartan's brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they would color change in the sun. And I was like, I had no idea, because I didn't know what the story was, I didn't know anything about those characters or those toys, and I'm like, what is going on? They're brown. Oh no. And they were out there in like the South American sun, you know, like right on the equator. It was hot.
Mm.
And so they were like dark, dark brown. And I just remember being like, what did I do to them? What did I do to these guys? They're tan. I didn't know they changed color.
A heck of a way to find out, though.
Well, did they change color because of the sun, or because there was actually a color change feature?
Was it heat based
or light based?
Yeah, it was the feature that they would change, and that was part of the story.
Oh, it was the holographic water feature, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't know at the time that they changed color, so I think I was a little traumatized by that.
Yeah,
I couldn't explain in my head why these two would change, but the 30 other dudes.
Everyone else
stayed the same, but these two assholes.
And nobody explained it to you why, so it just gave you some kind of complex.
Right. I remember asking my mom. She's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Months and years of therapy.
They won't stop changing color. Still
don't see it.
So that's
a South America story. So this is another South America story. So I used to live in Venezuela, and there was this one toy store that would import U.S. toys. And my mom would take me there every now and again. And I remember seeing on the toy shelf Power Master Optimus Prime. Now, the last movie I ever saw in theaters before I moved to South America was the Transformers movie. So Optimus Prime was dead to me. He was dead. I hadn't seen anything else. So I'm arguing with the girl, and I'm like 9 or 10. I'm like arguing with the store clerk, like, why is there an Optimus toy? He's dead. Did he come back? And she's like, I don't know. It's like, well, can you find out? Like, why is he here? And of course, my mom got him for me. And then 2 seconds later, I broke the peg that connects the trailer to the cab.
Oh no. That was really fragile too, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was one nice thing about that though, is that the shape of the that whole piece being about the same width as the gap between Optimus Prime's knees. You're still able to kind of rest it down in there, just forward a little bit, and he can still pull the trailer.
Yeah, I didn't know that as a kid.
Yeah, that's how I did it. I never had an intact peg until I was like 27.
Yeah, I remember when my Trailbreaker broke, I buried him in the garbage bag. My cousin broke his leg off. That was another guy I had for like a day. My G1 Trailbreaker, his leg broke off, and my cousin broke his leg off, and I took him over, and I put him in the garbage, and my cousin, he was younger than me, he's like, we can still play with him. I'm like, no, he's dead now. And I told him, you have to leave him in the garbage, he's dead.
No, he lost the leg and he's dead. It's like Braun getting shot in the shoulder and dying.
He lost his leg, he bled out.
Sorry, Lieutenant Dan.
Never leave a man behind, sir.
You have been trail broken.
Oh, no, that's horrible. Even right. By my standard, that's pretty bad.
So, going back to the GI.
You make a wonderful dad if you're a dad joke.
Yeah, I'm a great dad. My daughter plays with Castle Grayskull, but she uses it as Rapunzel's Tower because they don't make Rapunzel's Tower. So she'll like have Rapunzel's hair fall over Castle Grayskull, and Flynn Rider will drive up in the Thunder Tank.
I would watch that.
That'd be a great series, actually.
No kidding.
It'd be this generation of Tangled, right? I mean, this generation's Tangled for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, going back to... And Richter sank into the depths of hell. He'll be back in a moment, I'm guessing. Going back to G.I. Joe's, my older brother was always the big G.I. Joe guy. He was all about the G.I. Joes and a little bit Transformers. I was all about Transformers and a little bit G.I. Joe. So it kind of balanced out. This is the guy that used to get me up at the butt crack of dawn before he had to get up for school, before I even had to go to school. And we would watch Transformers, G.I. Joe, Voltron, you know, all these other shows early in the morning. Anywho, so G.I. Joe was like his main thing, aside from Legos. That was like his passion. And one thing that I ended up venturing into as a loose connection to that was when the Super Nintendo and Genesis released the games Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter 2. G.I. Joe did figures of those.
Did they do Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
I thought they did Street Fighter. I remember Street Fighter.
The majority of those figures. I had like I had Guile, Sagat, Reptile, Scorpion, Sub-Zero. Just on and on, and these were some of the stupidest looking figures. If you ever gone back and looked at them, I mean my friend hates it.
Yeah, Chun-Li looks horrible in that weird random costume.
Right. Wonka and E Honda.
Yeah, I don't recall I think they may have done movie ones too, but I know for sure they did the ones based on the video games.
They did the ones based on
I just remember marveling how long Sagat's torso was like he was part globulus or something. He's really, really strange. Huge, long torso, regular size limbs,
and that bald head.
With the weird.
I remember joking as a child that was actually a laser cannon, not actually connecting that idea to Kano from Mortal Kombat.
I can see that.
No, my friend hates the G.I. Joe, the G.I. Joe Street Fighter characters, especially since they tried to put, because it's based on the cartoon as well, they tried to make Street Fighter part of G.I. Joe, right?
Yep.
My friend really hated it, and he still talks about it, because he's a massive Street Fighter fan. So one year, as a joke present, I bought him Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li, and M. Bison, because they were cheap. Nobody wants them. They were cheap. And I gave it to him as a birthday gift. And he just looked at me and like, we can't be friends anymore.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of the gift. It was, there was other things going on which we don't know about.
Hey, this is the guy who gave me his Victory Saber and Deathsaurus as a wedding gift.
Wow.
So, I think it was that. It was the fact that I gave him back, like, Street Fighter G.I. Joe.
Was he the one marrying you, or I mean, Death Zaurus? Holy crap.
Well, so he got married, and the wife said he has to get rid of his big stuff because she doesn't want to have to stare at him all the time every time she walks in the study. And he went like, hey, yeah, does Beth like, well, Beth would probably like, give you Transformers, and I go like, probably, but she won't say anything about it. Excellent. Because he knew that it would go to a good home.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why you got to be very careful with who you marry. You know, you can't. You got to be very careful. There's a vetting process that happens, and then, you know, of course, if you get divorced, you don't want to get sued for half the value of your toys that you accumulated while you were married. So, you know, you gotta. There's got to be paperwork involved, and my collection is very well protected.
Well, that's why you find sales, deals, and coupons, and trades, you know.
Yeah, I find that the more that you can deal in cash, the better, because then you can just tell your significant other, oh, that was $100 when it was like a car payment.
Yeah. Oh, $100 could still be a car payment.
Yeah, but a bad car, not a car I would drive, though.
Yeah, I always just kind of ballpark mine right around what they were at when they were at retail. I don't usually inflate my prices on things like that.
No, I just usually tell, oh, honey, don't think too much about it.
I mean, it depends on the thing. Combiner War Shockwave or something, since they... those figures in Botcom with the Reflector and the Flash Sentry, you know, Shockwave is ridiculously hard to find now. So, you know.
Do you know it just started popping up in Australia? So for like the longest time, I couldn't find anything and it really cheesed me off. And I recently got it on sale, which is still more expensive than you would get it in America. But I got it on sale.
If you find two more, get two more.
Why?
You can make Reflector. You can make a camera out of the three Shockwaves.
Can you, though? Can you?
Like, it doesn't look that good. I saw the photos for Reflector at VodCon, and I went,
Earth camera.
That's pushing it.
It's a Cybertronian camera.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, but Shockwave was a Cybertronian purple space gun. Anyway, so, you know, not that far of a stretch.
Yeah, but he looks like a gun, though.
You can find it, buy it. Like, seriously, it's a good toy, though. It's like it's a pretty good toy. It's a pretty good Target Master, actually. Since Titan Returns isn't bringing me Target Masters, this is the way to go.
All right, so what other toys? Any other crossover stories you had from when you guys were kids?
Well, growing up as a youth, I had the pleasure of being in a trailer court for many years. And had lots of kids, you know, all throughout the different trailers and stuff. And right in the center of this place was just a big wide open kind of a park, basically no benches or nothing, just a bunch of trees and bushes and open field of grass. And me and a couple of the neighbor kids would go there periodically, and we'd bring along our Transformers. Our Power Rangers was a big one. That was huge because right around the same time G2 was just beginning, but Power Rangers had the huge Megazords, and we got into those. Ended up teaming those up with Transformers, or pitting them against each other, or even trying to combine one with another just for kicks and grins, you know. I mean, we would do like weird stuff, like, you know, the bigger the Transformer, the more powerful it was. So, I mean, we got into petty stuff. I would take the Rodimus Prime, attach him in robot mode to the trailer, have the trailer open and the gun come out just so he was tall enough to be powerful. I mean, silly stuff.
I remember I used the trailer of my Rodimus Prime as a boat for the human figures of my mask vehicles. Because they didn't have the cars were like Knight Riders, like they all had personalities, and so they could operate without the humans. And there was a point where I remember playing where like they lost the cars, but they had a Rodimus trailer that they used as the boat on lava. and then Rhino came and saved them.
A boat on lava.
Right. It was lava. Everything was lava when I was a kid.
Furniture to furniture because you thought it was lava.
Well, that, but that just right away just reminded me of like Mario World, where he's like on the logs on the lava. Anyway.
Yeah, but I did it first.
Yeah, yeah.
The old He-Man toys. Do you remember the old He-Man toys that were just like one shape, rubber band legs and everything, right? With the swinging torso to do the... I remember as a kid, and I remember having a lot of those toys, and it hit that point where I just stopped playing with it because He-Man had gone off the air. And wrestling became popular, so when it was still WWF, none of this WWE bullshit. And I remember using all my He-Man toys as wrestlers.
Yep.
And I would do all the silly stories like oh crap, Tila and Evil-Lyn would be like the managers, you know. He-Man was like Hulk Hogan.
That's a good one. I've heard that one before. That's, you know,
stuff like that. And Man at Arms was like Macho Man Randy Savage and stuff like that. It was great. I remember doing so much of that because they could do suplexes. Because of the way the arms were, you could literally lift up the other toy. And it was, oh,
what you gonna do, brother?
Yeah, that was...
That's pretty good.
That was good. I remember...
My home, God.
Okay, so... I also... Anyone else mix Star Wars and G.I. Joe's? Like...
Yes.
I used to mix those worlds all the time.
Never had Star Wars as a kid.
Really?
Really? Are you maybe too young, though?
Yeah, 32.
My brother loved the movies. You know, but we never had any of the toys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now to be fair, my mom was just the right size for the X-Wing too. My mom had a model assembled of the Enterprise D from Star Trek. Mom's a Trekkie, but outside of that.
Well, all my Star Wars were hand-me-downs from my cousin. So they didn't have guns or parts or lightsabers. And the only thing that was kind of complete was the Falcon. He gave me the Falcon and he gave me the AT-AT. And I would land the Falcon on top of the AT-AT and they would live in the AT-AT. And then the Falcon was their escape ship. And
what?
Then, yeah. Right, and then anyone could live in there. It would either be Star Wars or G.I. Joe's. I used to play with the mini-bots because I had all of them. So I felt like I had the complete collection. And the mini-bots like Bumblebee and Cliffjumper, they could all live in there. The Ghostbusters lived in there for a little while.
So, Rick, you had the Falcon sitting on top of the AT-AT?
Yeah, yeah. And then in an emergency... it would detach and fly away.
I'm just imagining them sitting in the cockpit of the Falcon, driving, and like it zooms out, and it's just the AT-AT walking around.
Right.
But like so
yeah, how would you do?
That's an episode of Rebels one day.
Right. Since Chewie
Rebels anything
had eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to park the Falcon on the AT-AT all the time.
Nice.
No, I think the problem was there was besides Transformers, I have to admit, and I got a few of the stuff in the 90s, which was quite normal. A lot of the other toys always came back to being giant robots related.
For sure.
So having crossovers of giant robots just doesn't seem that fantastical. It kind of seems normal.
Yeah, that has to be the biggest draw for me is just being a giant robot. That was the thing, whether it's Voltron or Robotech or heck, another one that comes to mind from the early 90s, about the same time as Power Rangers or so, was the American incarnation of the series Gridman, Superhuman Samurai Cyber
Squad. Oh, Samurai Cyber Squad, yeah.
That, for its limited range of toys and its limited range of NECA, those are some freaking fun toys. I mean, those were just insane designs. You know, you had the...
But it's so expensive now. If you try to get any of the things... Like, I was lucky enough to get the transformation device from the Japan version. So, the American was that he strums the guitar, right?
Yeah.
I remember correctly.
Samurai, guys.
Yeah, but he's got that brace, which they fired a giant laser from. in his final attack. And in the Japanese version, that's how the human host gets into the computer world. He hits it, shouts access, flash, and then jumps into a computer monitor.
Nice.
And I managed to get that for cheap, like $15. And I've been trying to get this for a future guest of ours, Matt Frank, who does a lot of the Godzilla comics for IDW, and I can't find anything under $60.
Wow.
So I was really lucky getting $15.
Speaking of which, I do want to point out to our listeners and our viewers, originally scheduled to appear tonight was Matt Frank. However, we have, due to unforeseen circumstances, we've had to reschedule that. He is slated to join us on May 13th, so be sure to check us out then to listen to Matt Frank and hear what he has to say.
Matt Frank is an amazing artist. He's worked on a ton of Transformers stuff. He's done Godzilla for IDW, Transformers for IDW. Yeah, he's a nice guy, too, so definitely check us out. And, hey, Jim, are there any sponsors that we should mention?
I don't think we have any sponsors. I mean, if we did, it would be probably something like, I don't know, just pulling crap out of the air, maybe, I don't know, CapturedPrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service.
Yeah, let's give them a hand.
What is it?
Captured Prey, let's give them a hand.
Yes. People.
Oh, that's an inside joke.
My hand. one hand clapping.
Yeah.
Anyway, great toys, great prices, great service. Free shipping on orders of, I believe, $150 or more. So check them out. It's CapturedPrey.com. Also, check out Megatoyfan.com. Maximize your collection, minimize your cost. Megatoyfan.com.
I think Captured Prey is going to do a third-party thing at BotCon this year.
Wait,
did we already miss BotCon?
BotCon already happened.
Did it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Either that or maybe I was hallucinating. I'm pretty sure I recall memories of being in Duran's place and. There was Greg and.
How is that? Is that weird being in like Duran's place? Like,
I don't know.
Was the party at Duran's?
No, seriously though. No, for BotCon for that week, Duran was nice enough to lend me his couch, and Greg brought his own inflatable bed mattress thing. But yeah, it was fun. As far as Capture Prey though, I ended up helping out with Capture Prey, helping Orson, who was also, like Duran, a victim of ConSARS.
Yeah.
But it was a fun week. Lots of cool stuff happened, including me attacking Venus Terzo. Stupid suit.
Why?
My stupid suitcase fell over that I had Combiner Wars Devastator and a couple of the figures in that I was going to get signed by, you know, Greg Berger and David Kay. And it decided to stop standing up. And it just, like, barely, but it caught her in the edge of the shin. The handle did. I felt, like, that tall. I mean, I felt so... What's worse is... Well, I did until I was blue in the face.
Did you make him bleed?
But oh no, it was like a little tap, but still.
I wouldn't worry.
What made it worse is I didn't even have a figure for her to autograph. The autographs were for Greg and for David. I just got a picture with her. Yeah.
How have the Beast War fans not killed you yet?
Hey, speaking of Beast Wars, today is what, the 20th, 30th, 50th?
20th anniversary.
20th anniversary.
Now, I wasn't sure. Is that the 20th anniversary of when the Beast Wars toy line was released with the like the comic and the Bat-Gator combo, or was that the 20th anniversary of the television series on Fox Kids?
I don't think we need to get that specific. Oh, it's just the 20th anniversary.
Okay. Well,
yeah. It's the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars.
I wouldn't be able to tell you. This year, right? This year. That's why we're going to get MP Beast Convoy.
Yes. And in other news, earlier this afternoon, I passed up purchasing a Beast Machines box set, then got home and found out that it was the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars.
Although that was kind of Beast Machines. It's fine.
I know, but I just thought that was a funny coincidence.
Okay, so it was the cartoon. Today was the 20th anniversary of the cartoon airing.
Okay.
It's a good 20th anniversary because the cartoon's good.
Yeah,
and it actually still ages pretty well compared to some of the other Transformers stuff. Let's be serious.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite Transformers cartoon. Definitely better than the Unicron trilogy.
I like Galaxy Force.
You know, I
never seen the English version.
Even though I'm the youngest one here tonight, I just for a moment there I just felt so old. Because, you know, it just occurred to me, you know, I was like, this is the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. And I'm thinking back how long it's been since the 20th anniversary of, you know, 84's G1. 2004, we got MP01 as 20th anniversary Optimus. We got Alternators.
Oh, my God, Unicron. You're right.
How long ago has that been?
Now we have the 40th anniversary. And 50th anniversary. Yeah.
At least, you know, if luckily Dawn isn't in this on this episode, he would feel really bad at this point.
Yeah, he'd chime in like, yeah, when Beast Wars came out, I was at a bar drinking.
I was already twice divorced when Beast Wars came out.
Paying off a student loan and getting my car.
I had hair.
While he cannot defend himself, this is the best time to go about it. We're gonna get so much flack in the next episode from Dawn. I can see it coming. I have to admit, it's Beast Wars actually felt like a totally different franchise when you think about it when it came out. Like, if it didn't tag Transformers onto it, you could have just made it its own thing, and people would still have. I think it wouldn't have been as popular because it wasn't part. It would be like Animorphs. Animorphs is the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
They cannot be named.
Yeah, Animorphs was a little odd. The books were cool to flip through real fast. But otherwise, I never did anything with it.
I think what made Beast Wars great as a show was that it started off with just little like nods to Transformers, like Optimus Primal, Megatron. That was it. And they were from Cybertron. That very small stuff, and it really stood on its own, developed its own fiction, had its own story. And then only towards the end, they start tying it into. To Unicron at the end of season one, and then season two and three tied it into the G1 show, and I think that's why it was so great, because it really established itself before saying, hey, we're part of this bigger, wider universe, unlike Batman v Superman.
Yeah. What? Oh, is that an actual movie?
Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to think it doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
Just like Indiana Jones is always a trilogy.
Yes.
But what about the
series? And Star Wars has really a great four movies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But what about the expanded universe?
There's no reason to ever see the prequels again.
What are these prequels? There's a thing. You know, Rebels is a really good
series. I say we can go into more than just prequels. We can go into Shadows of the Empire, any of that stuff.
Well,
that's so sad. It's like, I always want Mara Jade to be in this. And it's like, no, you know, he's a hermit now. He never got married. I'm like, damn you.
I don't know. That looked like a tombstone outside of his, where he was standing by.
Are they just going to kill kill off Mara Jade before she even turns up.
I think what people are now, because I've worked on some entertainment properties and I still have a lot of contacts in that world. I think when the next Star Wars movie comes out, I think people are just going to be really surprised because Luke dies in like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Wait.
So Beast Wars.
This movie?
You know it's not April the 1st.
Oh.
So Beast Wars. It was a great show. Happy 20th anniversary.
Yes.
How did Venus Turzo look? Was she holding up well? She still look good?
Yeah. Very, very, very kind. Very sweet lady.
Yeah.
And we even ran into her a couple of times after that. Just going to 4th Street Live and, you know, just different odds and ends in the lobby. Okay, every odd turn wouldn't her. It would be David or Greg.
Yeah, I seem to have that with Greg Berger at every show that him and I are at together. I'm always staying on his floor or we're riding the elevator together.
Like, wait, you're in this room too? How did that happen? That's not a bad thing. But,
okay, talking about other toys that we played back in the
toys.
Day.
Yes.
Toys for your listening pleasure.
Toys for... It's not even Transformers anymore. I'm like going... Spider-Man. A Spider-Man animated series.
Oh, Amy. Really damn good toy.
Never got the toys, but I love the show.
They had the fully, at that time, I guess, fully posable Spider-Man, which I just had to get. And then for some reason, I really loved the Peter Parker toy. Because the Peter Parker toy came with, like, a little camera.
Isn't it?
No. It was just a Peter Parker toy. So it's like in the brown jacket and everything.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
They looked a lot like the show, which was, like, great. Because Batman Animated looked exactly like the show, too.
Yeah, the
you know, that was a good Dr. Octopus toy. There was
Dr. Octopus.
Now, I love Batman, but I'm not a Batman toy fan. But I remember the first time I ever saw it, the Batman Forever Batcave playset, which is like 3.5 feet long.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
This thing, and I'm like, this is gorgeous. I gotta buy this. Because I was really into Star Wars at the time, Power of the Force and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I bought it. I'm like, all right, I'm putting my Star Wars figures. So that became like where the Empire lived. that was like all like Darth Vader and everyone was in the Batcave. It was had this gothic look to it. I think I paid like $80 for it back brand new in the day. And I've always been trying to find one. And finally, I was at a toy show last year. Guy had one in the box. And it was the end of the show. And he's like, listen, I don't want to take this back with me. He had it, I think originally it was like $300. And then by the end of the show, Sunday, I got it for $45.
The
Batman Forever Batcave.
Batcave. Okay.
It's the really weird one with the swing out garage for the Batmobile, right?
It's got the it's like really long. It's like 3 feet long. It's got the round thing, which is like a platform, and then there's like a bridge to the next level, and there's a bridge down to the Batmobile level.
They don't make playsets like that anymore, really.
I only ever got two Batman toys as a kid. I want to say they were the Michael Keaton Batman Returns. I don't believe they were animated series, but one of them was the Bruce Wayne in a black turtleneck, and he had the attachable, like the Batman cape and cowl, the boots, and all that. And then I had an Arctic Batman, which was a lot like Mr. Freeze. He had the armor that went over him with the little bat ear shaped dome. And the little arm can that had the little squeezy bulb, and you could put water in it and squirt water out of the weapon.
Yeah. I'm a fan of big playsets.
Iceman Comet.
So anytime I see a big playset, like that Batman Forever playset, I had to get it. Sectars. Not a very well-known line from the 80s.
No, because that
sounds familiar.
They were like human people, but they were mixed with bugs, and they were knights.
Yes.
And they...
That was a really weird series.
Not yeah, just- but what was cool about that toy line was they had a huge, huge playset. It was like 4 feet tall.
Nice.
And it like towered over Castle Grayskull, and the box for it is enormous. So, like, that's what got me into Sectars, was that huge playset. And because all my Sectars are now, I buy them, you know, in the package, I use that playset for, like, my classic Seaman's display. It's huge and it's awesome. And something about big playsets, they just don't make those anymore.
They don't do them like they used to.
It's like, you know, the USS Flag, that Bat Cave, Fortress Maximus, like the real Fortress Maximus.
They don't pass the drop test or something like that.
Well, it's materials as well. Realistically, how many of those can you sell? It's like the it took forever for G.I. Joe to have another big playset. You know, they put one out for the movie, The Pit. But then it ended up selling terribly.
It was a terrible toy, though.
It's a cool playset. If you're into G.I. Joe, it's a cool playset. And I remember I was working at Hasbro at the time, and they were clearing some of them out at the employee store for, I think, like $12.99, sealed in the box.
I believe it.
What?
I saw them on clearance at Big Lots.
I actually did like the G.I. Joe, the first movie anyway, because the second movie toys never made it to Australia, but movie toys, I actually quite liked them. Like the Jets. The Jets were nice.
So what you're telling me, Hank, is that you were spared the misery of Dwayne Johnson, the toy, Malibu Rock.
Right.
Yeah, no, I the only reason I even knew it existed was when they did the release of the toys, but then delayed the movie, and that came out in Singapore, and I was visiting family at that point and saw them and went like, thank goodness I'm skipping this.
Yeah, there's a couple gems from that toy line.
Some really weird stuff for that toy line too.
You know, you get the Bruce Willis, John McClane action figure, which is great.
Oh yeah.
Yippee-yo, Kaye.
Yeah, unfortunately, all of them had the eyes painted on weird. So if it was cross-eyed, like one eye would be looking down, the other eye's looking up that way. It's like can never find a John McClane with the good eyes on it.
Nice.
But that's what John McClane is like. That much brain damage, you'd expect his eyes to be all the wonky.
Yeah. Plus I don't really want the bald John McClane. I want the one with like I'm kinda coating it over John McClane.
Did he have Dean Bramage?
I think so. I don't know.
For you to keep charging after terrorists, I'm quite sure you're brain damaged.
Yeah. Or maybe he just really wanted Alan Rickman's autograph.
Oh, is it still too soon, people? Is it still
No, it's never too soon.
Who doesn't love Alan Rickman? I mean, movie or not, it's Alan Rickman. Get his autograph. Meet him, dude.
He was in Galaxy Quest.
Right.
I know, right? It was so funny, too, because my wife would know him from Love Actually. like, Alan Rickman, my wife only knew about him in Love Actually, which I don't know if you guys have seen.
Never seen it.
And the Harry Potter movies. And so when he passed away, the question she asked me was, what else has he been in? And I just looked at her and went, honey, we've watched heaps of movies with him in it. What are you talking about?
Dogma. That's my favorite Rickman role.
Oh, come on. No, it's not.
I love Dogma.
Galaxy Quest is though.
Definitely Die
Hard. Dogma's a good movie. The first Die Hard. Like, my wife's never watched really super violent movies. Like, the most super violent movie she's seen is Deadpool. So, I couldn't actually...
Yeah. Well, if she's going to watch one super violent movie, that should be the one.
Yeah. Her best reaction to it was, "Oh, I don't actually hate it, and I can't believe it's actually a love story." I went, like, "I've been telling you this for months. It's a love story. Why would you say you can't believe it's a love story?"
Yeah, I took my wife to see that for our wedding anniversary.
Nice.
I told her the same thing. We went, yeah, it's that guy, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, it's that Ryan Reynolds guy. You know, it's a love story thing.
Did she ever forgive you?
She liked it. She puts up a fight at first, but when I get my way, then she ends up liking it. As with most things with her.
Fair enough.
I'll send you a list of what that means, of what that includes later.
Yeah, not on the show. Not on the show.
Yeah, there might be someone listening. other toy lines, mix and match.
Well, one that I kind of overlooked, but I actually just remembered. We were talking about MOTU earlier, Masters of the Universe, and He-Man and all that.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that my brother actually had some He-Man figures, not many. But it predated a house fire my family had in 89, where we lost those and everything else, except like the TV and like, I think the cat, a few other things. Anyway, but I remember he had the blue and purple two bad that had the two heads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had Snake Mountain. I remember that vividly. And one thing that it wasn't until my 20s that I found out what the smell was, like what the actual source was. But I remember vividly Stinkor, the skunk-looking villain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was one of my favorite childhood smells. And it turns out it's something that they put into the plastic. It's, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, patchouli oil. And they put that in there when they were molding the plastic of the figure. So it's not actually on the figure. It is the figure in some respects. So that toy will forever always smell until maybe it decomposes.
Smell like that.
Yeah. Mossman has a smell to him too. And
does he?
I think like 2 years ago, Mattel did a Mossman cologne for Comic-Con.
Nice.
That was from the classic series, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Because there's supposedly two, if I remember correctly, two versions of Moss Man. One comes with the old feel of the original toy, which is the Moss. You know, that weird weird furry feel that it has in the original toy. And then one was just normal plastic.
Like He-Man furry.
Yeah, I like it with fur. Yeah.
Well, of course, their underwear was all furry. Anyway, so it's kind of
Yeah. Play ball.
Another one that I had, actually following that, is 90 or 91 when I got this. It was either Christmas or a birthday one. I can't remember. I ended up with He-Man, but not as I remember him. He was slender. He had blue pants, a translucent green sword, and a translucent H. It was from the New Adventures of He-Man.
Optimus Primal He-Man.
Yeah, Gary Chalk voiced this, and I didn't find that out until SlagerCon.
Yeah, and then he also did Man at Arms in the 2000
series.
Never seen, and to this day, I've still never seen an episode of The New Adventures of He-Man. I'm aware it exists, and I've seen the opening credits, but that's it.
Yeah, I remember watching that show before I went to school in the morning, thinking, "The fuck is this He-Man show? What the hell is this?"
I remember the first episode confusing the heck out of me.
It made no sense, the first episode.
That's the problem. They tried to link the first episode to the original Filmation, or however you pronounce it, TV series by saying that he's from the past. He's going into the future. But he's always looked like that. And then he goes to King... I want to say Rancor. It's Rancor.
He goes to King Rancor.
King Rancor. King Rancor and Queen.
And what does he say? He says Uba Chupa Fada.
Nice.
But I try to. So they introduce the two of them to say that he reveals that he's He-Man to them, and you know he's like, I've got to go and save another planet or whatever the shenanigans it was.
By the way,
the wrong colors.
I'm He-Man, and I'm gonna go to the future now.
Yes.
So bye forever.
Pretty much.
And they never even. Only Teela and Sorceress turns up throughout the series, and even there's only one episode each.
Do they show
one
up?
Was just. So Teela turns up in season 2. Sorceress turns up in season 1 at one point. But I remember Teela turning up, and He-Man's love interest in the future, or Prince Adam's love interest in the future, gets really jealous. And his secret identity almost gets revealed because Teela turns up pissed off with him for not telling her he was He-Man. and I'm like, And this is like, and she doesn't even look like Teela, because they obviously couldn't use the Filmation look at all in any form.
Well, see, that's weird, because King Randor actually was, I think he was this Filmation animation model, but they changed the colors on him.
Yeah, he was blue, like totally blue, except for his skin. He was blue.
Nice.
It was weird. Like, I liked it if it was just on its own, like going like, this is the future adventures of He-Man, and he's like gone off to another planet, but they didn't have that first episode to try to tie it in with the original series. I would have been okay. But it's like, what? It's New Adventures of He-Man was technically Beast Machines.
Yeah. To the it was G2 He-Man.
Absolutely, actually. I got that He-Man, and another thing I got that same year as I got that He-Man figure was my very first lesson in the adventures of Gold Plastic Syndrome. The role-playing He-Man armor came with a shield. It was like a large version of his like transition shield, but molded entirely in gold plastic. His sword molded entirely in gold plastic. Except for the blade, I don't remember. And the chest plate molded entirely in gold plastic. I had them about a week.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think some of my G2 Transformers actually came broken in the package. My Electro.
Wow.
Yeah, so the Japanese version, I found out, doesn't have the same problem as the American version. Which may explain why my Electro is still in one piece.
Rick, have you tried putting him in the freezer?
No.
I haven't tried to freeze him, no. No, but...
it hurt.
You know what I have seen? I've seen people take their Hoth Luke and hang him upside down in their freezer.
It sounds like something I would do.
Nice.
And I have a Wampa arm somehow in the background, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen people do that.
That could work.
I might have to get a Hoth Luke now to put with my Steve.
Steve?
Yo, wait, what?
My Steve Rogers. He might need a Hoth Luke next time now.
Oh,
that's right. Frozen Captain America.
Captain America.
That's great, because you forget that he's there, and then a couple years you'll find him, and like, oh, yeah. Steve.
And then you just put the Avengers around him as he starts thawing out and shouting, Bucky!
Yeah, no, I actually packed them up. I had to unfreeze the freezer since we're moving. I had to pack them up. So in the next house, I'll put them back in there.
Let's put them in the thermos.
No, it's not as fun.
Talking about Bucky.
You Bucky guys O'Hare?
Bucky O'Hare? Yes, okay, good. Every time I hear Cap,
worst
Bucky, and I start singing the song in the back.
Cap Bucky O'Hare!
Such a catchy theme song. It's such a
Dead Eye Duck. I remember
they had toys.
Yeah,
toys,
and
I remember having really good toys too.
Yeah, Dead Eye Duck, and it was Bucky O'Hare versus the Battletoads, and I kept thinking, this is like the future of like Ninja Turtles, like
pretty much.
Like,
that's what it felt like.
Usagi
just
the
which is
great great grandson.
And you know, somewhere there is an alternate universe where Steve Rogers became Captain America and Bucky ended up becoming a Green Rabbit.
That would be great.
And he would be probably out there on the internet right now.
Now that we've said that, it's about to happen.
There you go.
Well, yeah, so just after Ninja Turtles became a phenomenon, all these clones popped up from nowhere. You had Biker Mice from Mars, which I love as much as it is a clone. Street Sharks, which Street I'm indifferent sharks. To. Yeah.
Street Sharks.
Dinosaurs?
No, Dinosaurs just came out in the 80s.
Did they?
Was it before Turtles? That was still a pretty cool show.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, was Dinosaurs before Turtles?
That was years before Turtles.
Turtles was 80s.
So Turtles copied Dinosaurs.
that may have been around the same time, because Dinosaurs had some mid to late 80s quality animation.
Yeah, I think the Turtles started in 89, though, their cartoon.
87.
No, couldn't have been that early.
I don't think it was that early.
Sure.
No, I thought it was 89. To Google. I don't think the Turtles were that early.
Yeah, check Dr. Wiki.
Yeah, because Turtles were way into the red sky by the mid-90s. And Shredder out of the picture and all that.
Oh, it was 87.
Aha! I win!
Wow. Syndication was 89, but the original four-episode movie started in 80. So, okay. The pilot was shown during the week of December 14th, 87, which explains why we think it's later than that.
Technically 87.
A five-part miniseries, and the show began its official run in late 88.
Okay.
And then by the time it gets to Singapore, it'll be like 89, so that may explain why.
That would have been probably the point where they were releasing the videotapes like The Shredder is Splinter or Super Rock City and Mighty Bebop and things like that.
Dinosaurs started in 87 as well.
Aha!
Dave, but only by...
Shows the quality of the animation about when they were done. Like, compare Masters of the Universe animation quality to, well, Thundercats. Versus, and that's only a five-year difference.
But remember, it's animation. Like, you know, Lou Schreiber would keep things cheap by reusing animation sequences. Yes. I mean, that was the whole point of their animation studios, that they would just reuse animation.
Well, sure.
Dick did that a lot.
The way that Dick did that a lot with colored, though, it's like it almost felt a little fuzzy. And you look at Thundercats, there's more clarity. Everything's sharper. Of course, that could be just a difference in lighting too. It's Masters of the Universe. A lot of things were at nighttime.
That's why the Batman animated series was so good. Shadows, just all of it, shadows.
When they were making the Batman animated series, they were specifically going for the feel of the old 1940s Superman cartoons.
The World War II ones, right? You're talking about?
About that same time, yeah.
It starts with an F.
I know. I keep putting it in Filmation, and I know that's wrong.
Filchman? Phil something?
Yeah.
Fleischer.
Fleischer, yeah.
That's it. But they were actually going for that same style. And that's why that translated so well, is because they kept a lot of that same feel to that.
And I think it was a shame, like, when you think about it and you watch stuff like Dinosaurs and Ninja Turtles, and you watch the intro, and you go like, that animation looks really good. Yep. What happened to the actual episode? And then you find out, it started off with the intros being Japanese animation, and then somewhere along the line, it went to Korea. Which, now Korea's industry is fantastic, don't get me wrong, like, Korea does freaking fantastic stuff, but back in the day, not so much.
You know who does a lot of animation out there when you go in Korea? I didn't mean to cut you off. You know, there's a lot of. I was just thinking.
Look at.
Go ahead.
Airbender, the last Airbender, it's an entire Korean team. It's a Korean team, and it looks fantastic.
Transformers Prime was Korea, I believe.
I was not aware.
Yes. Yeah. Transformers was mostly Korean.
And now we know.
Japanese. Yeah, you know who actually does a lot of animation still to this day in Korea? Is Nelson Shin, who directed the Transformers movie.
That's true.
The good one.
Does he still work in Korea? I thought he... Oh, maybe,
Last time I spoke to him, he did, 6 months. He would live 6 months in Korea and then 6 months in the U.S. Because his daughter is in the U.S. in L.A. She's working there. But, yeah, he was still doing animation.
Huh.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
That's really good.
Oh, I just remembered another one. It was really pretty awesome. Do you guys remember any of the trauma movies, like the Toxic Avenger?
Yeah.
Kabuki
there
Man.
Was a Toxic Avenger cartoon.
Yeah, those toys would fit in with your Ninja Turtles real easy.
The Toxic Crusaders.
Yeah.
Because they were the right size and had the weird shape as well, yeah.
The cartoon was a little odd, but I only ever had one figure. I had the character Nozone. It was this blue fighter pilot. He had this massive, massive nose. And with the toys, you would pull the goggles out of the top of the head. And he came with this little canister of green ooze. You would pour that in there and then put the goggles back. And by doing that, it would push it through the cavity of the head and the goo would come out the nose. He had like a bicycle wheel for a leg. It was beautiful.
Because all I can think of is the ooze from the old Ninja Turtles. You know, when they had that weird machine that would turn the turtles back to the little tiny...
Yeah.
I think it was the same kind of ooze.
And those were expensive, like, each canister.
Ghostbusters.
And I went through so much of that. Ooze.
Did they?
Yeah.
The real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the real Ghostbusters and He-Man had ooze. Or slime.
Slime. Oh, that's right. He-Man had the slime from, I want to say, Hordak.
From the slime pit,
it was very late in its run, and I think it got taken off shelves really quickly due to safety reasons. Anyway, I sold all my real Ghostbuster toys at a flea market. I super regret getting rid of it.
Wow!
Because this with the with the reboot, I was just like, oh, it'd be nice to have my old Ghostbuster toys again. And like, whatever Mattel's releasing right now is just overly expensive for no apparent reason. And I'm just like, no, I can't afford that. I can't justify it.
I have very few, very, very few Ghostbusters toys. I had the foam puck gun. I don't know if you call it necessarily a proton back or anything.
Oh, the proton blaster. Yeah, I remember that.
And the three foam pucks that you could store in the top, and then one in the front. And you held the handle, and you pull back the gray thing in the back, and punch it forward, and that launches your foam puck. I had Granny Gross, which was this little old lady in a red hat and a purple dress.
Yep.
And I had Fright Faces Egon Spengler. Who always has broken off. You can never find one with an intact necktie. Ever.
That's right. I had the scared face or the freak face or whatever they're called for Ray and Wilson, and then I had Egon and Vecman with the normal proton packs that you had to spin around where the blaster was so that the beams would spin and. And I had that, and that was my full Ghostbuster team. Because in my mind, really it should have been Vecman with the scared face, because he's always terrified. That was what I had, and I remember that. It was Winston. Oh, yeah, Winston. And that was great.
Winston.
Wilson!
Winston.
Wilson. Winston Zedmore, right?
The haunted volleyball.
Yeah. And I loved his character. Yes. It's like he's the normal guy who doesn't give a crap, just wants a paycheck.
Yeah. Ernie, Ernie Hudson got such a raw deal in both the films, honestly. I mean, didn't get equal billing. I don't even think he was on half the merchandise. But, yeah, Winston was like one of the best characters.
Even in the cartoons, he was one of the best characters.
Absolutely.
Didn't he actually voice himself in the cartoons for a while?
Until it became Ghostbusters and Slimer. I think he actually voiced the first three seasons.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I always wanted that playset, that Ghostbusters playset, when I was a kid. If I had that, so all my toys would have lived in there.
You know, some of my favorites. This will sound weird. When Ghostbusters 2 came out to theaters, Hardee's restaurant chain had these little, I don't even think they were keychains. I think they were just little gizmo that had the speaker and the four little buttons on it that had the generic 1980s, you know, electronic sound effects that almost every toy had. Like the laser guns had them, the airplanes had them. It had like a generic machine gun sound effect, a bomb dropping.
Pew pew sound, right?
Right. Yeah.
Pew pew.
You know the sounds. You know, every 80s toy had them. But there were four keychains. There was red, blue, black, and white. And my brother and I had to collect all four. I have no idea why, but it was a thing. And then we had each a Hardee's white plastic Ghostbusters 2 lunchbox.
A Hardee's Ghostbusters lunchbox.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was a white like clamshell, had a little latch on it.
That's pretty cool.
Ghostbusters 2.
That's a piece of merchandise I've never even heard of before.
I didn't know it existed.
To this day,
I think the best thing that I ever did for Ghostbusters was when I went to the U.S. for my honeymoon, which was the first BotCon I also went to, and I met Don for the first time.
Oh,
was when we were in New York, I checked out the firehouse that they used in the movie.
Nice.
Cool. It's only the outside they use. The inside, I think, is a firehouse in Chicago.
So you spent time with Don on your honeymoon, huh?
Well, so the original plan was we'll go to our honeymoon, and instead of we'll go our separate ways in San Diego.
Don actually just showed up there. They weren't even invited. They didn't
showed up.
Oh, hi.
I went to BotCon, and my wife went to Vegas, and this was in San Diego. So I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So we spent a few days apart, met up in New York, and then started technically the honeymoon from there. But it was pretty funny in the first few days. And every time I tell the story to people, people go, wait, what? Your wife let you go to BotCon? It's like, yep, that was part of the agreement for going to the U.S.
Okay.
It works.
May as well.
Spend way too much money at BotCon, that's all I can say.
You never spend too much money at BotCon.
Yes, you can.
Look at Duron. he would agree with that phrase. You can never spend too much money.
If you leave BotCon with both your kidneys, you haven't spent enough.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. Okay,
One quick story. Huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, so Bionic 6. Do you guys remember that?
I think I maybe saw like two episodes ever and never had the toys.
The toys were exactly the same as G.I. Joe, if I remember correctly, except with transparent components to show their Bionic.
They were diecast. Yeah, they were like vintage O-ring Joes, but diecast because they were Bionic.
Yeah, and they would have fit. They fit perfect to me in my head as the special squads for G.I. Joe. Because by that time, G.I. Joe had some really weird battle squads. Like, what was the team 2000 or whatever it is?
Yeah, Battle Force 2000, Eco Force.
Oh my God, Eco Force was the worst.
Random Repeat Force.
Isn't Eco Force the ones that had Play-Doh and you had like the little things that went around them to make the armor?
No, Eco Force had the water spraying ability, so they could clean off pollution from the enemies.
Right, they were the Planeteers.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there was Ninja Force because ninjas are always cool, and they all had to be run by other Snake Eyes or
Storm Shadow dislocates his shoulders over and over.
Yeah, there was Car Wash Force. And
remember when Trekkie went to space?
Forget.
Sure.
That was in the 90s. Really, really, really weird.
Was it Extreme?
Like Space Force? No, it was before G.I. Joe Extreme.
It was Battle Force 2000, right?
I don't know.
I love
robot for the Joes.
Yeah.
But I remember it was a
Robo Joe.
I remember it was a cool thing because you took off Cobra Commander's
helmet.
Yeah, that was his name, Robo Joe.
You could see half of his face. It wasn't just
this is in Centurions?
No,
talking about Centurions.
Yeah. Cobra Commander's mask was transparent, and you could see the face beneath it.
Well, you take it off, but he had like a black like crew cut or flat top, and bandana over his nose and mouth. So you couldn't actually see the whole face, but you saw a human-based face, and he had black hair. He had some kind of like suction cup wheel thing that he would, like lock onto him or attach to him like a vest.
Right. Yeah.
He could like roll down your refrigerator and stuff. Destro had an arm like his arm was a cannon. He looked like Doc Terror, but with a chrome head.
And he had the same articulation as Doc Terror.
Yeah, pretty much. But the Joes I remember had this mech, like this large robot, had electronics and stuff in it.
Yeah, I think originally that was like the give up. Let's just stop trying Force.
Yeah, I want to say Shockwave was on the box, maybe. Might have been Shockwave.
Because all I remember Battle Force 2000 was they had these really futuristic mechas that merged into a fortress of some sort. And then
the writer,
what was his name? Something Hammond? The writer of the comics?
Larry Hammond.
Yeah, Hammond. He basically went, I don't know how to write these guys, and then killed all of them but two members.
What was his name, Rick?
Larry Hama.
Okay, I thought you said Larry Hagman. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, it was Larry. Yes. Just so we get it straight, it was Larry Hagman who wrote the G.I. Joe comics back in the 80s and 90s.
And I love that because he couldn't stand the idea about it. He just went, cool, I'm going to give them two issues to talk about Battle Force 2000 so they can sell the toys and then kill them.
So that's what JR did after somebody shot him.
That's right. It was a rough couple years between the Dallas revivals.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just quite funny. I remember G.I. Joe going through a really weird, oh god, they're trying to do G2 Transformers and it's not working phase.
That's when the scale started changing, like every couple of years, like they would get bigger then smaller, then lose the O-ring and
when they lost the O-ring, that was the worst. Extreme was oversized, wasn't it?
So was G.I. Joe Sergeant Savage or Sergeant Rock, I think.
Sergeant Savage and the...
No, Sergeant Savage and the whatever, because Sergeant Rock...
Whatever, yeah. That was the name, Sergeant Savage and the whatever.
That would actually be a good series.
I think that was the actual name, Sergeant Savage and the whatever. dot, dot, dot.
Sergeant Savage and the dot, dot, dots in the year 2000X.
And don't forget, what was that what was that other one that they were all like kind of polygon looking? Sigma-6.
Sigma-6.
Oh, yeah. The toys were in a weird scale too, weren't they?
They were roughly this big ish. About the size of G-Tor, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit
larger. That was a weird scale for Joe.
Yeah.
Alright, well it's been almost 2 hours here.
It has.
Has it?
We're gonna call it.
It.
So if anybody has any good stories about what they did as children and how they merged different franchise toys, please put it on our Facebook or Twitter, I guess. No, not our Twitter. Definitely do it on our Facebook page, and we'll all have good laughs about it.
Just Twitter, make sure that they're short stories, because you're only limited to however many characters.
GoBots. If you anybody writes GoBots, we ban you for life.
GoBots versus Transformers. Yeah, it was
One side of this fight.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
We'll see you next time, and we got Matt Frank as a guest on when? The
May 13th.
That's this year, though. May 13th this year.
2016. Yeah.
Right. Last year. This year?
And, okay, thank you very much. This is Tiffalpa.
Tiffa who? Oh. All right, guys. Well,
this is Australia saying goodbye.
Yes. This has been Jim.
Connecticut signing off.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for checking out TFYLP. See you next week.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.